Sunday the 8th of March 2020, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, God Speaks. Sermon title, God's Message to Us. Bible reading, Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. Talk by Neil Welsby.
The reading this morning is from Habakkuk chapter 2, starting at verse 1. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by his faith. Indeed, wine betrays him. He is arrogant and never at rest, because he is as greedy as the grave, and like death, is never satisfied. He gathers to himself all the nations and takes captive all the peoples. Will not all of them taunt him with ridicule and scorn, saying, woe to him who piles up stolen goods and makes himself wealthy by extortion. How long must this go on? And this is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't know about you, but I actually like contrasts. I like contrasts. One of the target words for teachers when you're looking at exam papers is compare and contrast. You're looking at two sides of an issue. Those of you who are into decorating, you might well be advised and they say to you, oh, you need a contrast wall. You need something that's going to be there to bring in everything else. So you've got your main colour, but you've got your contrast. And those of you who are artistic will understand, of course, you have the paint wheel. And on the paint wheel, you have the contrasting colours on either side. So you know what the contrasts are. You can look at things. And what we're looking at today is a contrast. In verse 4, what was just been read to us, it said, see, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. We have a contrast between the unrighteous and the righteous. The unrighteous and the righteous. Well, in one sense we could say, yes, all right, we're talking about the Babylonians, and they were definitely unrighteous. They were a barbaric people. And Habakkuk was concerned because, of course, being in Jerusalem and a Judean, he was looking at it, and as we discovered last month, the reality of that was that it wasn't quite that they got it right, and it wasn't quite that they got the answer that Habakkuk wanted. It was slightly there, because really, they'd done evil in the eyes of the Lord. But it wasn't as much evil as what the Babylonians had done. It was a lot less than that. So the unrighteous, they're puffed up. And their desires are not upright. The unrighteous, they're full of their own self-importance. They throw their weight around and are convinced that they are right, whatever, even though there may be no evidence to support their position. A current example of this would be what's going on in certain universities and also certain other situations around the country of no platforming. You might have seen it in the newspapers. This idea of people who are saying, well, actually, we're not going to allow you to speak, by getting people to take away the opportunity. At this particular time, there are two court cases taking place. One being brought by the Billy Graham Association and another by a Scottish church, both of which have been no-platformed for events that were going to be held in public arenas. Because certain people have claimed that they will be speaking hate speech in a homophobic because they take a biblical position on gender issues. But both Christian groups say they are speaking the truth and sharing God's love, not hate. And if the intolerant groups that have made the claim actually win, then we as Christians are going to have a massive problem in terms of sharing our faith with others. The aim of those who are no platforming seems to be to silence Christians completely. And that's happening in our society. Unrighteous action. But God, then, in Habakkuk's time, as now, is looking for the righteous person. The one who is living by his faithfulness. So what does it mean to be righteous? Well, obviously the opposite of being unrighteous. Where the unrighteous person is stuffed up and proud, the righteous person is humble. They will desire to follow Jesus' teachings and commands. Do unto others as you have done what I've done to you. Love your neighbour as you love yourself. But maybe even more importantly, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 36 to 39, we are told, you need to persevere, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little time, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. In this passage, we've been reminded we need to do the will of God. We can only do this if we are familiar with the will of God. And that comes by spending time in this. Spending time in God's word. Spending time discovering what is the will of God. As we do that, we will also discover that there are promises. As we've just heard, Jesus said that he will return. And that we have to accept in faith. But many who claim to walk with Christ shrink back in the face of adversity, rather than standing for the faith. But what were we told in that reading? We're told in that reading from Hebrews that actually if we do that, that leads to destruction. While those who walk in faith, they will be saved. In his great high priestly prayer in John 17, Jesus prays this. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that you may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. So what are we seeing there? We are seeing that actually the reality for us as followers of Jesus Christ, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And we can see lots of things that are going on around us. And this is going to get increasingly the case that we will be persecuted for our faith. Jesus said, as the world will hate them, and as they hated Jesus, leading to his death, but then to his resurrection. So as people who are living in relationship with Jesus, we need to accept his word as the truth. As he prayed in verse 17, sanctify them by the truth, your word is truth. Scripture teaches lots of things that many in the world reject, but they are things that God expects of us as true followers. And we need to act in faith. But what then is faith? Well, we discover that in the next chapter in Hebrews. Hebrews 11 is the absolutely famous faith chapter. And it starts off by giving us, in verse 1, a definition of faith. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And verse 2 says, this is what the ancients were commended for. And the rest of Hebrews 11 then goes on to give examples from Scripture of faith in action. For example, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen is not made out of what is visible. By faith Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he's dead. So the reality of faith, as we're discovering there, is this idea that actually we have to put our trust in some things. We're all fully aware that there's been massive debates in terms of the creation story, or is Charles Darwin really right? And that debate's been going on for years and years and years. But the reality of it is that actually God is saying to us, hey, I put this thing together. I put this thing together. I'm in charge. I'm doing it. But often, as Habakkuk was saying, Lord, I'm not sure about this. It doesn't look like it, but things aren't quite going our way. But then God said to him, hang on a minute. I'm not doing it in your timing. I'm doing it in my timing. This is going to happen in my timing. And this passage we're in today tells us the reality is that, well, actually, you're going to have to wait 70 years to see what's going to happen to the Babylonians. That prophecy had come through Jeremiah. And the reality was that that's exactly what did happen. 70 years later, the unrighteous Babylonians were absolutely decimated by the Persians who came along afterwards. And what was spelled out in the promises that God had made exactly took place. So God had used those who were considered unrighteous to bring about his purposes. But there was a consequence for those people. And the consequence for them in the end was, as we've just read, destruction, because they hadn't turned to God. Scripture tells us many things that we are to put our faith in as biblical Christians. But there are many others who wish to take a cultural position and allow that to colour their interpretation of Scripture. So, for example, certain homosexuals claim that the Bible preaches love for all. Which, of course, it does. But that love is a changing love. Because God loves me so much, he wants to change me into the likeness he created me with. And we discover that in Genesis chapter 1, because he created each and every one of us in the image of God. He wants us to become more Christ-like day by day. So, he doesn't want us to remain in our sins and trespasses. He wants us to be in a living relationship with him through Jesus. Then hopefully, I'll be walking in righteousness. And we see that in our reading. Don't for one minute think that the walk is perfect, because it isn't. In Hebrews 11, it talks about Abraham, and it really builds Abraham up as a man of faith. He's highlighted, he's seen as being virtuous in his walk with God. But hang on a minute. It wasn't on the Abraham who couldn't wait to have an heir. And so he had a child with Hagar, his wife's servant girl. Instead of waiting on the promise of God that he would have a child through Sarah, his wife. So he wasn't quite that virtuous, but God forgave him. And God fulfilled the promise that he'd given to him. Because Abraham turned to him in faith and accepted the promises that God had given him. So this whole idea of where we stand in terms of righteousness, it's not that things are absolutely perfect. They're not. And they never will be because we live in a fallen world. And we have and are called upon to actually, on a daily basis, keep short measure on our sins and trespasses. We will do things wrong. But we need to confess those things. We need to give them to God and say sorry for the things we've done against him. So what is God's message to us? We are called to be righteous. We're called to walk in faith. Even though we're going to be under attack from the world we are in, but not of. We can expect further persecution, and like Habakkuk, we need to seek God in each and every situation. Then we are reminded that often God's timing, as I've said, is not our timing. They had to wait 70 years for the destruction of Babylon. Jesus says of his own coming, he didn't know the time or the hour. Only the Father knew the time or the hour. But one thing is certain, Jesus will return. And when he returns, he's going to judge the quick and the dead. So if we look around the world and we think, as Habakkuk was thinking, Lord, why are you allowing all of this to go on? Well, God says, I will judge, but I will do it in my time. And with the return of Christ, the promise is that he will judge and he will do it in his time. So we might look at the prosperity of those who are unrighteous at this time, but it is promised in the word that that is going to stop come the end of the world. Also, we need to be aware that obviously God reveals himself in this, his written word. And God's message throughout this is one of deliverance. This is a source of hope. It's a source of comfort. And it's also a source of direction. Some people talk about it as being God's handbook, and it is in lots of ways. And it's important that we are familiar with it and discerning in terms of what it is that God wants us to do. Through looking to God, what do we discover? We discover life instead of death. Jesus died on the cross to give us everlasting life. So the challenge this morning is, are we walking in faith and righteousness? Are we following his commands and doing his will in our walk with God? Amen.